2 Kings chapter 5. And I also pray that the Lord would bless us this morning, meet with us, and send His Spirit to us and show us His goodness. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14, 2 Kings chapter 5. And verse 1 says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Naaman was the captain of the king's army, the captain for the king of Syria." And when I read this, and we know this story, sometimes we have to be reminded of it, but we know the story of Naaman. And when I read this, the first thing that stood out to me was how highly the Lord speaks of Naaman. I thought, our Lord is so good to us. The way that He thinks of us and speaks of us, and the way He's recorded some of our brethren, He's so kind to us worms. He really is. We all know, because our Lord is the one who said it, but all have sinned. We know that. We know there's none good. And I write this and I say this and I pray the Lord would bless this. We literally have the same thing to say every time we stand up, don't we? Same thing. Everything that we think is a righteous work is actually a filthy rag. Everything that we think is a righteous work, some of the things that we do that we think, oh, that was pretty good, that is a filthy rag in the eyes of our God. It's an awful stench in His nostrils. It stinks. We are by nature rotting dead bodies. Actually, literally. We're covered with putrefying sores. But listen to how our good Lord and Master speaks of His filthy, rotten sinners that belong to Him. Just listen to a few of them. Job said in Job verse 1, he wrote, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil." He told Satan, "The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. Have you considered him?" Listen to what our Lord said about Simeon. He said, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Listen to what he said about Cornelius. "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always." Oh, can that be said about us? Our Lord is so kind to us. He's so kind to us. Our text, verse 1, says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, But he was a leper. He was a leper. Every wonderful thing, every wonderful word that a man can say about another man is nullified by the fact that he's a sinner. Every single thing we can say about one another is completely nullified by the fact that he's a sinner. Everything that seems to be good about a person, he goes to church. That's great. That's great. He's honest. I really admire that in people. I think that's wonderful. He gives to charity. That's great. I wish I did more. He's a good provider for his family. He loves his wife. He loves his children. He's a family man. He's an upstanding moral citizen. That's great. Honestly, that's great. I'm happy about that. The problem is, he's a sinner. The fact that Naaman was a leper means he's a dead man walking. That's what it means. You can say all these things, but it's all nullified by the fact that he's a dead man walking. He's a leper. That's the problem with every man and woman born into this world. The problem we all face is we're all born dead in our trespasses and sins. Go with me to Psalm 58. Psalm chapter 58. Psalm 58 verse 1 says, "Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation?" As everybody meets together, congregates together in front of each other. "Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart you work wickedness. You weigh the violence of your hands in the earth." You weigh how much can I get away with and still look good in front of everybody else. "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." We're all born speaking lies. None of us has any hope. Born into this world. All of us. Well, back in our text, verse 1 says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.'" Oh, I wish to God that Naaman was with that prophet. He would heal his disease. Verse 4 says, "And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.'" This little maid who providentially was taken into this man's house said, as she's going about her business and doing her job, "I know a man. I know somebody. I know of one who is able to heal your disease." I believe Naaman knew he was a leper. I believe he could see it skin deep. But I don't think Naaman realized just how serious his condition was. because he was not seeking a cure. When a person realizes how serious their condition is, they go seeking a cure. They drop everything else and they go seeking a cure. He was off trying to be a great man. He was trying to win battles and conquer all and take the spoil and gather up. And that's what we do. That's exactly what we do. But this little maid who represents the Holy Spirit planted a seed. Just one word. A word in season. She planted a seed and it created a desire for a cure. That's what happened inside Naaman. A desire for a cure. This desire to seek a cure, it didn't begin with Naaman. It was put there by someone else. It's the same desire that the Holy Spirit puts in a sinner when he or she realizes, I have a problem. I have a problem. I'm a sinner and I need a cure. A seed is planted that says, maybe you should seek Christ. Maybe you should. Well, Naaman now knows he must seek this prophet. This prophet represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows he must come to Christ, but he doesn't know how he must come. And he comes the wrong way. Verse 5 says, the king of Syria said, go to. Go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel. Not to the prophet, to the king. Saying, this is what the letter said. Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. First of all, Naaman didn't go to the prophet like he was told. He went to the king. He went to who he thought was the one. Well, religion's all the same, isn't it? Why not this place as opposed to this place? It doesn't matter. He thought, I deserve to go straight to the chief seat. What he thought was the chief seat. And he thought, with all these gifts I'm bringing, he's bound to accept me. I'm bringing a lot of stuff with me. He's bound to answer my request. He came, but he came the wrong way. He went to the wrong man. And he brought the wrong things. He brought his letter. He brought a letter of recommendation. He brought his work. He brought his resume. This is from the time I've been born, everything I've done. Our Lord said in Matthew 7, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? We have our list here. He brought his resume. He brought his money. He brought 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold. He brought his goods. He brought 10 changes of raiment. He brought the fruit of his work. I've worked hard and this is what's been bestowed to me. Cain tried that. It didn't work. What he needed to bring was the blood of a lamb. He didn't know that. In verses 7 and 8, this king that he comes to represents a true preacher, a true servant of God. Verse 7 says, it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. A false prophet, a false preacher tells people, come on in here to me. And sign right there, we send our numbers in. Come in here to me. I have just the right Hail Mary that fits your problem. Tell me what your problem is, and I'll tell you what to pray. Come in here to me. I have just the right tongues for you to speak that will fix that problem of yours. I have just the right clothes for you to wear. And way of life that'll fix that problem of yours. Come in here. I have just the perfect pool of water right there that'll fix your problem. That's not what God's true preacher says. He says, don't come to me. Don't come to me. I can't do anything for you. You're going to have to get to Jesus Christ. You've come to the wrong man. Don't pray to me. Don't pray to Mary. Don't pray to anybody else. You need to pray to God. The true preacher says, don't speak any tongues. Let our words be few. We're standing in the presence of a holy God. Put our hand over our mouth. The true preacher says, naked we came into this world and naked we're going to leave it. Your clothes aren't going to do you any good. That bonnet is not going to do you a bit of good. The only covering you need is the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got to get to Him. The true preacher is going to say, don't come near this pool of water until you've come to Christ. You've got to be in Him first before you can get in there. That's just a confession that you are in Him. Well, this king told Naaman, you've come to the wrong place. There's one prophet that you need to get to. One prophet. Verse 9 says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. First, he brought the wrong things. Then he went to the wrong place. Now he's at the right place, but he has the wrong attitude. He's come to the right place, but he has the wrong attitude. Verse 10 says, Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Elisha, God's man, didn't come out. He sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away. He got mad, and he rejected it. A sinner is only going to hear from God through a messenger. Only. Naaman's pride said to him, I deserve to see the man myself. It was an insult to his pride that Elisha didn't come out. He didn't come out to meet me. He had to hear the word through a lowly servant. That simple servant told him, the first thing you're going to have to do is wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Now let me show you 3 things about the Jordan River. The first one, turn to Genesis 13. Genesis 13, verses 10 and 11 say, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered. There was a big river that ran through the plain of Jordan everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. The river of Jordan ran straight through Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the river of sin. It's the river of sin. That messenger told Naaman, you're going to have to get in that river. You're going to have to get in that river. The second thing about the Jordan River is in Numbers 32. Numbers chapter 32. Verse 1 says, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. Just like Lot saw. This is a nice plain. It's flat. It's well watered. Lots of grass here. Verse 5, wherefore said they to Moses, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? They're going to go over Jordan and fight to receive the promised land. And you're going to sit here? Verse 7, and wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. Verse 10 says, and the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Verse 19 says, we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side of Jordan. We don't want to cross Jordan. We must cross Jordan to enter into the promised land. It's the river of death. I like it here just fine. In order to reach the promised land, we must cross the river of Jordan. That messenger said, you're going to have to acknowledge that river. The third thing about the Jordan River is back in our text. 2 Kings chapter 5. Down in verse 12, Naaman said, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? The river Jordan was unclean. It was filthy. It was unclean. It was not clean like the rivers of Damascus. And his proud attitude was saying, that's too dirty for me. You want me to get in that? I'm cleaner than that river. I'm a leper, but there's some good spots on me too. I'm a sinner, but I'm not a total sinner. There's some good in me. There's a little good in everybody. No, there's not. Not only does Naaman have the wrong attitude, he has all the wrong thoughts about everything. He's all wrong. Everything about Naaman is wrong. He has the wrong thoughts on worship. He has the wrong thoughts on how God operates. Verse 10 represents true worship. It says, Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Isn't that our message? Every time we preach, we start out bad. You're going to have to get in Jordan. Oh, but if we do, you're going to be clean. That's true worship. Verse 11 represents false worship. It says, "But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper.'" He said, "I thought I was going to get to go straight up on stage to the man who's holding the microphone in front of all those people. And I was going to tell him my problem, and he was going to make a big commotion to his God and wave his hand and strike over the place, and I would fall out and be cleansed of my sin." That's what I thought. Verse 12 says, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. The truth is offensive. It's offensive to natural man. All of us by nature. Naaman represents all of us. The natural man rejects the truth because it kills the flesh. It just kills the flesh. Everything that we have, it kills it. It kills our works. It kills our way, our methods. It kills our pride. It kills our thoughts. And it forces a man or a woman to say, "I'm wrong. Everything about me is wrong. It's all wrong." And Naaman, he's not there yet, but he's about to be. Verse 12 says, "He turned and went away in a rage." Verse 13 says, "And his servants came near and spake unto him." Naaman was going the way he wanted to go. Away from the prophet. Away from the man of God. "I reject what I've heard." And he's headed to destruction. In a rage. He wasn't strolling away. He was leaving. But God. He should have let him go. He just should have let him go. I believe these servants represent the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Go with me to, let's read this. It says, "His servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean.'" Now this is the goodness of our Lord. A parent to a child does not have to explain himself. Child says, "Why?" The answer is, "'Cause I said so." But our Lord is so good. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Our Lord is so good. He's so patient with us. Just so patient with us. Isaiah chapter 1. And look at verse 18. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Naaman was not willing and he was not obedient. But God made him willing and obedient. Forced him to be. And then once he was, mercy came to him. "Come now, let us reason together." Let me explain this to you. Well, our Lord said, "My sheep, my rebellious sheep will hear my voice. I will speak to them. I'm going to speak to them. My word is going to pierce their heart. I'm going to give unto them the gift of repentance, repentance. The actual definition of repentance is a change of mind. That's what it says in the concordance. A change of mind. A change of mind about God. A change of mind about His holiness, who He is. A change of mind about me. A change of mind about sin. Back in our text, verse 13 says, His servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash and be clean. Wash and be clean. The word of the Lord pierced Naaman's heart. It changed his mind and it made him willing in the day of his power. Naaman was storming off. He was mad. And I imagine he just stopped. He just stopped. Changed. Like a light coming on. He got it. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. I understand that now. In my hand no price I bring. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. I have one great need. And Jesus Christ is made to be all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. I believe he said, Where is that river? Where's that river? I've got to get in that river. I must confess what I am before the God I've offended. Verse 14 says, Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. 7 times is the number of perfection, the number of completeness, it's the number of wholeness. I believe he hollered, I'm a sinner. And then he plunged himself in the river of sin. And then he came back up and he said, I am a dead man. And he plunged himself in the river of death. I am a leper. I am unclean. This is what I deserve right here. God be merciful to me. Lord, save me lest I perish. Verse 14 says, Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Naaman didn't deserve it. Not at all. Not at all. But the Lord God had great mercy on Naaman. Naaman had so much to be thankful for. He had so much to be thankful for. I'll show you why. Let's close with Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, verse 27 says, And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Just Naaman. It's God's grace. It's God's mercy. It's God's choice. It's God's work. Salvation really is of the Lord. Oh, thanks be to God. May the Lord bless His Word.